podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is episode number 98, season 3, episode 8. Hello.
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 How's it going, guys? Everybody have a nice week off?
Indeed.
Yes.
I followed Amanda's mother's social media post and saw that they had a lovely vacation.
I feel like I don't have to post anymore because there's someone there to do it for me.
Isn't that wonderful?
Just, you know, it's just the privileged white girl in me. I don't have to post my own events on social media.
Your anymore. Mommy does it for you.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, she's got one of those nice new iPhones that's got that pretty portrait mode. So her pictures are going to come out better anyway. So
there you go. It looks like a very nice vacation.
It did.
It's lovely. I am a bad New Englander. I had never been to Cape Cod before last week. And it is worth the hype.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. Like, it's really pretty. The water is, like, really clean and really clear. They take really good care of the beaches. Yeah, I guess my only argument is there's a slight diversity problem, but I feel like that's...
Cape Cod for you. Hashtag Cape Cod.
Yeah. Par for the course, I suppose.
Fun fact, we went there when... It must have been 2005 or 2006 because you were texting me from when you saw Damien and Fiona.
Oh, right. I believe it was at Mohegan Sun.
And maybe?
She was just a disaster? Was that show?
When I saw it, he was a disaster. And I saw it at Jones Beach. But you had seen it because I remember getting a message from you that you were there.
Right. Yeah. No, this was one of Mohegan Sun in the arena. And like, she couldn't get through a song. Like, she was just such a mess.
Because that was when she was going through her breakup with the dude that married Maya Rudolph. name I can't remember.
Yes. Yeah. Anderson. The director.
Yeah, the director.
That's his last name.
Maya Rudolph's husband. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. Mark Paul Anderson?
No.
Or am I thinking of Mark Paul Gosselaar? But I think he has two first names.
He does.
I'm pretty convinced Anderson is the right last name.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I really don't care that much.
Yeah, either way, here nor there.
Maya, now I gotta look it up, though.
But you do care.
I do. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Paul Thomas.
Mark Paul, you were close. Anyway, cool. So Cape Cod, tell me all about it.
Yeah, it was fun. We really just... went to the beach a lot. We did a whale watch, which was awesome. I was not pumped about the whale watch going into it. Anytime I have whale watched in my life prior, was just like a waste of time and money. You just like go out in a boat and you just kind of tool around and you see like maybe the tip of a whale fin, and it might not even be that. Like, it might just be like someone holding a stick with like a scuba diver. Like, oh, there goes a whale.
What, like a water scuba dive, scuba diver selfie?
Exactly. But this one was awesome. Like, we saw so many whales, and they got so close that I swear I thought one was going to knock the boat over, like, just push it over. It was so close.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. That was definitely, a highlight of the trip for me. And then, just like hanging out with my family, played a lot of games. I started my broadcast Year of Woman books. I started I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. It's great. However, I don't recommend reading it late at night when you're sleeping in like a quiet cottage house that has lots of green space around it.
Yes.
Because then you're up all night thinking someone's going to break in and rape and murder you.
And it will take another like 75 years before the DNA gets them. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
So, you know, keep it at the beach if you're going to read it.
Keep it at the beach. I like
it. Keep it at the beach.
Cool. Did you do anything else fun?
What else did we do? We did a lobster boat cruise that like we just went on. It was almost like kind of like a beer cruise where it's like there was like a bar on top, and so it's like a bunch of people just like getting drunk on a boat, and then you went down and like had dinner during the boat ride, and you know, we all had lobster.
Oh my god, that sounds like my favorite kind of boat ride.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Eating a full lobster is very barbaric, but it's very fun and very tasty. And as someone who rarely if ever eats meat, it's kind of funny to like think of me enjoying such a ridiculous thing.
Do you consider shellfish meat?
Yeah, it was alive. It was a creature.
I guess, but like, I guess it's, so.
It's flesh.
Meat.
Yeah, it's meat. But it was tasty.
And what for about whatever like reason, a scallop?
That doesn't bother. Scallops meat too. If it was alive, if it was a creature that like breathes oxygen.
All right, all right. Fair point. Fair point. The meat eater in me has never stopped to think of all the differences. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
So, delicious lobster.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we played this card game that my brother has. It's called Machi. I always want to say Machi Koro, but I think it's Machi Koro. And it's like this crazy Japanese card game where it's kind of like Monopoly, but like a million times more fun.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's not hard.
Like instead of like a board, it's all these different cards and you like have to get money to like buy more cards. And like each card is a different like property. But like if you roll a certain number that's on that property card, it activates that card. So you either get money or you get money from someone else or you have to give something up. And like it's just like a ridiculous game, but it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was really like wholesome. And, you know, cracking lobsters. It was great.
Sounds lovely.
How about you guys? What'd you do on my summer vacation?
I had my own vacation. Well, Jay was away, and I didn't have any podcasts to do last week. It was kind of glorious.
Say, it must have been a little weird for you. A little out of the ordinary.
I know, but it was kind of awesome.
Nice.
Okay, so I actually had a story to tell. And it happened last week, and I remember thinking to myself, write it down, Colleen, because you're going to want to tell it. And I had the notebook out on the table, the dining room table, all week, and I didn't write it down. I kept remembering it, and then I was thinking about it yesterday, because I was like, shit, what was that story that I wanted to tell? So I asked Jay, I was like, was there anything like notable that happened? Like, because I can't remember what I want to talk about. And it was driving me crazy. And then last night, I was up all freaking night because Alex, I think, is getting teeth and he's too sweet of a baby to actually cry. So he just kind of like moans and it's like really sad. It really is. But he was up every like hour and 15 minutes and like I'd fall asleep and then like a half an hour later, he'd wake up and then Zach was up for 2 hours straight and then Alex was up and then I got them to sleep and then they woke up again. And it was a long night. I'm on like almost no sleep. But during like one of these half hours that I caught in between, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw written like in my handwriting written down what I wanted to talk about. And I remember thinking in a dream, oh, yeah, I did write this down. And then when I woke up, I couldn't remember it.
Oh, no. Oh, girl, I have those kind of dreams all the time. I totally feel you.
And that's why when Jay said something before, when he came down right before we started recording, it like triggered. I was like, oh my God, I think this is what I want, something related to what I want to talk about. I know, but I can't remember it. So I blurt things out during the show the entire time.
Be forewarned.
It's definitely going to come. Okay, that's what she said. But if it happens, I'm going to talk about it because I should have written it down. Anyway, in good news, I went to the eye doctor last week, which I still think is a big ripoff, but my eyesight got better.
What?
Nice.
So
is that a normal thing or are you like a scientific anomaly?
No. So I guess it's a normal thing because a few years ago, Jack's eyesight got better and all of a sudden he didn't need contacts in one of his eyes anymore. And I was like, man, I'm so jealous. So he just wears one contact, right? And I'm always like, I'm so jealous of you. I wish that would happen to me. And I have been having a lot of problems over the last probably year, maybe since like Christmas time, maybe at least since last fall, I've been having problems seeing the computer. So I thought I needed computer glasses like Jay did. So when I went in there and I talked to her about it, she's like, okay, well, let's, you know, see how your eyes have changed or whatever. And it turns out my eyes were overcorrecting because they got better at some point. And that's why usually when that happens, I don't know, you're like computer, that length vision changes kind of first. And that's why I was having problems singing.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm in a sample pair. That's a lesser thing. And I'm going to wear them for a week and see how it goes. Like, make sure I can still drive and shit. Kind of important. But yeah, I also found out that I have a freckle on my optic nerve, which I saw the picture of, and it was super cute. I was like, oh my God, look how cute I am.
Well, that's good. It's cute and not like, oh my God, is this dangerous?
It's not. You can't even tell. But I also was like, so if my eyes got better, am I a candidate for like LASIK or something? And she was like, no, you're never going to be a candidate for LASIK. And I was like, damn. Oh.
Why?
The thing that they like fix, it's too thin for me.
Hmm.
At least that's how it's been described. Clearly, I know all about it where I'm like, the thingy that they do, the thingy to, it's
too thin. That was enough. I got it.
Cool.
Seemed like a viable reason.
Yeah.
But good times.
Nice. So you're going to get new glasses? Well, new contacts, obviously.
I'm just going to get new contacts. My glasses are actually, there was no change in that prescription because your glasses are a lot easier to fine tune. Mm-hmm. Because when your prescription for contacts is as high as mine is. So I was in a 7.5 and an 8.5. And when it gets above 7, it goes by 0.5s instead of 0.25s. Yeah. Shani's looking at me like, you are blind. I am. I do not have great.
I'm looking at you like, I don't understand what any of that means.
I do not have great eyesight. But I'm supposed to be like a 7.25 now instead of a 7.5 and an 8.25 instead of an 8.5. And I guess my glasses last year were adjusted for that. But whoever gave me the exam kept me in the higher whatever, the higher thing. So now I'm down to a 7.0 and an 8.0.
Holy shit. You keep talking. I need to go see my prescription on my contact lenses.
Know what mine is. I just know I put my glasses on and I see better.
Good for you.
Yeah. I feel like that's like something you should know. Like you should know your eyesight prescription.
Well, not when like you can reasonably see without it, but
fair.
Okay, yeah. Shandy is back.
To give Amanda some context.
Or contacts.
Context is contacts.
Context for the contacts?
Yeah, context for the contacts.
And now I'm a little bit confused because there are two numbers on this. But
if you hold it up, I can
My prescription is negative 0.75.
You, congratulations. Your eyes are good.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I had 20/20 vision my entire life, and it wasn't until like 6 years ago that I had to, like, as an adult, get glasses. Which I don't know if that makes it better or worse. But, you know, like, I feel like glasses is kind of something usually that you do when you're, like, growing up.
Or in second grade. Yeah, that would
or
be
in second grade, you're like a kid. Yeah, it's like this thing. And sometimes if you make it to adulthood, then I feel like you're, like, good to go. But I was like, I'm an adult, and then I'm not good to go. Turns out
I was the same. I think I got my first pair of glasses in college.
Wait, you wear glasses too?
Yeah.
Do you just usually wear contacts?
I don't. I wear, because I, just for distance.
What?
Yeah, so I am nearsighted, right?
Yes.
I can see close up, but I can't see far away.
Same.
So, it's like, you know, it's blurry out there, but like, I don't really need to, it doesn't need to be sharp in like my day to day.
It's like,
I don't drive, so it's like.
What you guys describe, I haven't experienced in literally like, 24 years of my life. No, wait, 26 years of my life, because I got contacts when I was like 8. I mean, glasses when I was like 8.
I was going to say, how do you teach an 8-year-old to put contacts in? I don't have contacts. They don't want
I got contacts in 6th grade because, and I think I've told this story before, I had braces and I had really thick glasses and really ugly like Long Island white girl bangs. So my parents were like, clearly something's got to give here. Let's get her some contacts. I will show you a picture. I will find one and show you, and you guys will be like, oh, thank God they gave you something.
So I got contacts last year for the purpose of like long runs, super long runs, because like before I had like, I had run Big Sur in like 2015 and just didn't wear any contacts or anything. Cause like, again, it's so slight that it's fine. And I kind of had the same feeling of like, whatever, if it's blurry, a little bit blurry and I can't even really tell, whatever. But then afterwards I was like, you know what? Screw that. Like, I want to be able to see clearly stuff when I'm running for a long time. So, I got them and that was fun. Learning how to put in contacts as like a 30 something year old. I still, it takes me a long time to get it in.
That's what she said.
Still to this day, although I'm getting better. Sometimes I get it on my first try, but usually not.
Well, you know, practice makes perfect, but I was super excited about that. The other super dorky thing that I did while we were on break is I got a map of Umstead State Park, which I live next to, and it's got, you know, lots and lots of hiking trails in and out. And I finally got a map and looked at what I've done and what I hadn't done yet.
Ooh.
And I am now one trail away from hiking every marked trail in the park. And here's the part that makes it me. Because I can access Umstead from the other side of Route 40 where I work, so I can access it from my office. At lunchtime, I walk in there. I figured out all the different ways that I could walk home if there was ever an emergency and I couldn't drive home.
No, that's just smart.
Now, you just need to take some stuff with you into the park to make a secret bunker.
Oh my God. So that-
just have to bury an oh shit bag somewhere. Yes. Like, find your favorite tree.
Yes.
The most if likely path. That would be amazing. I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was very excited about this. And I even got a map for my office. And I was like, guys, if there's ever like something, you guys could all come to my house.
I'll lead the way.
Yeah.
I got some snacks buried in the woods. Exactly. There's a bottle of Chardonnay in one of those trees.
Chardonnay? Psh, please.
I know that was a
nothing
bad
other
example.
Than camp.
I know. I take it back.
And it just goes south. They won't even think it's weird because they'll just be so happy that you
that
have
there's wine.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a nice Bordeaux in that oak tree over there.
Yeah, aged.
Yeah, aged. And you see
you know,
that
they say oak barrel. So you know, I figured an oak tree was just as good.
Yeah. No, yeah, that oak tree is where I buried my bourbon. Oh, anyway, I don't know. I was super proud of myself. I'm like really stoked that I could get to like all these different places now in my mind.
Dude, when the apocalypse comes, I'm coming to your place.
Come to me. Come to me. I've got a room with no windows in my basement and I know every trail in Umstead.
Yeah, that sounds like enough. That sounds like enough to survive.
Yeah. I have a wine fridge.
Exactly. That was going to be my next point. We are like in sync tonight.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Yeah. Good stuff.
But I donated 131 ounces of breast milk to the Wake Med Moms Bank, Mother's Milk Bank, which is like for preemies. And I donated blood.
I donated blood today too.
No way.
Yeah. For real.
Go us.
I just took off the thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I
actually never donated blood. I'm a greedy, selfish, terrible person. Ever.
You do other things. You don't have to. What's your blood type?
I don't know.
Fair. I'm A positive. No, I'm B positive and J is A negative. And we always joke. It's really funny because I'm a somewhat more negative person and I was an A student. And he was more like a B student as a more positive person. So it's like we attracted each other's opposite.
Nice.
And blood type opposite.
I'm an O positive, so does that have to do with like O?
Oh.
Wasn't that... Is it O positive or O negative is like the good that you like if you
universal,
are that...
Universal
blood.
Donor.
Yeah. That like you, the, oh, wait. You have to give blood.
I actually always forget this too because I can't remember if I'm the one that can give to everyone or if I'm the one that can only give to O positive. It's like one of, or like I can only receive from O.
Right. There's one that's a universal giver and one that's a universal receiver.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I know that. We are just hooking you up this week.
I know. I believe.
And they're all the O's.
All the O's.
All the O's.
I believe that the universal donor is type O.
but positive or positive negative?
O negative is called the universal donor because it's compatible with any blood type. Type AB positive is the universal recipient because a person who has it can receive any blood type.
So I'm neither.
Me either. I'm not either. Which makes us more important.
You can get blood from anybody if, you know, God forbid you needed it.
No. AB positive can give blood.
Oh, AB
she
positive.
Can't get
Sorry.
It from.
So I'm saying it.
I listen when you talk.
But no, that makes us more important because we need to. People need our blood.
Right. And AB is its own type of.
AB is its own type. AB yes. positive is the universal recipient. And that is your science lesson for today, guys.
But here's my question. When they were coming up with these blood types, why? Where does the A come from? Where does the B come from? Where does the O come from? And why do they have to make it so confusing? Why can't it all be like. Different things like A positive, negative.
Do you
AB.
Really want me to what? Go down this route? Because I just Googled how do blood types get their names.
Like kind of yes and kind of no.
Because remember that time? I'm what curious. Was it that we looked up the? Was it like an erection or something? And we looked up
Sounds
the medical.
Like something we would do.
We looked up the medical term for it.
What? Isn't the medical term an erection?
Right.
What was it? Hold on. It was like, you know, A69.5 or something. It was. We were looking up the thingy for it.
Sure.
That sounds good.
I know. That sounds like something we would do. It's in this notebook. God damn it.
Okay. While you look, Shandy, tell us about giving blood.
Yes, please.
You know, just it had been a while. I did notice that their homophobic question hasn't changed yet. That one's still there.
Which
is interesting, like the have you ever had sex with a man who's had sex with a man?
Right. Yeah. Do you make a habit of having unprotected sex with strangers?
Yeah, that should just be like, you know, the universal question. Oh, bringing it back.
So I gave blood, but the most exciting thing I would say, well, actually, in the past like week or so while you were gone, Frank moved back to school. So that's kind of a bummer, but it's actually, I don't know if I talked about it really a lot last year. I have these weird lines of like what I will and will not talk about on the podcast.
You talked about how he was away at school.
It's not always consistent.
You talked about how he was at school. You were going to tell us a story about his roommate, but you never got to it.
Oh, yeah, she was crazy. That was not a good situation. And so that kind of ruined last year. So that's why this year is so much better because he's found a great place. He's like pretty much finished furnishing it. He found a roommate who seems really cool. So like everything's sort of falling into place.
Yay!
But yeah, so and then my roommate doesn't come back till Friday. So I've just kind of been like alone at home. I did a lot of cleaning and a lot of mostly, honestly, though, decluttering, which I've been wanting to do for years.
Awesome.
Years. Oh. There are certain drawers that just like, ugh.
Oh, is
and
that how you
years,
pronounce
I
that
wanted
word?
To do this, but not sort of gotten around to it. And so I finally did on Sunday. That was great.
How do you feel now? Do you just feel lighter?
So good. It's amazing. It's
it really,
really, really, really amazing. Yeah.
That is awesome. Great. I cleaned out Jay's drawers too while he was gone. And it made me feel good to get rid of some of that stuff.
Oh my God. I took so much shit to Goodwill. Don't tell Frank. Although now he'll find out because he has been listening to the broadcast. When he drove down to school, he like listened to a couple of episodes and texted me back because he had sort of like listened a little bit here and there before. And he was kind of like, you know, it's nice, but like, you guys just kind of talk a lot about like your lives. And I was like, yeah, like there are these three like distinct segments. And we always start with talking about our lives and like some people like, you know, follow and like are interested. Anyway, now he's like on board with that. And he did say, Colleen, that you are a very good storyteller.
Really?
Yes. That is a compliment straight from Frank.
So oh my God. That makes
me
feel
on yourself
so good.
About talking people like it and we like it.
Thank you because okay, I do a program every month and one of the attorneys that I work with in my one of my committees that I run or that I oversee rather, she comes up to me and she makes a reference to the movie Cock Blockers and I didn't get it. And I felt really I felt really bad. She was like, "Do you have a place that I could butt chug this coffee?" And I was like, "Oh, have you ever seen the movie Cock Blockers? Because, you know, that if you made that joke, that is a movie for you." And it is 7 o'clock in the morning. And then she goes, "I know." And then she references something else. And it took me a second. And then she goes, "At the brewery, Jay told me about the broadcast, so I've been listening to it." And I was like, "Oh my God." So
Jay.
But I thought it was awesome because she loved it. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome." And then I saw her at a committee meeting later that day, and we were in the elevator together, and she was talking about more things that we talked about in the show. And I was like, this is so, like, I felt so, like, you know, honored that people listen. And I had this moment, because you know, we talked about during the meetup where we had all had that moment where people, like, yes, knew what we were talking about. Yes. And we've kind of, this has kind of, yeah, been a theme lately. We also have an email later from Piper, who is a new listener too. And I just, I don't know, I had this moment where I was like, okay, because I've always found us funny, and I've always really enjoyed listening to, like, it back when I edit it. But I've always kind of been like, nobody wants to hear me talk, like, for that long. So I don't want to, you know, subject my friends to, like, they have to deal with me in real life. So I don't know, it's kind of like a positive, like, affirmation that, mm-hmm, we need to do more to get our show out there. So I was trying to think of ways to, like, share it with the world, and the only thing I can come up with is everybody tweet it at, like, Tina Fey or something, but I'm not
my
really
Twitter
good at that
is sadly
stuff. This is Amanda's
private, so
damn.
Yeah.
Maybe we start with, like, Anna Faris, or, like, someone that we really like that has a podcast.
Ah. Or Amy Poehler, because we know that she has that group that denied us.
That's right.
Because we can look past that.
Maybe not. Yes.
I don't know. Tell your friends about us.
Tell your friends. Yes. And I will say, Frank was, we were talking, and he was telling me about listening to the broadcast, and he gave us that nice compliment, and that was cool. And he had listened to the episode about Nanette, and I had even said on that episode that my husband, you know, like, still likes Woody Allen, blah, blah, talked about that. And he was saying that now he, like, totally, like, he thinks about Woody Allen differently.
Oh,
yes. And watching Nanette, like, sort of helped him to get there where it, in a, you know, and just, like, see it in a way that he hadn't seen it before. So that's the power of Nanette. And then I will say that's the power of our podcast too.
Yay.
Although not really. But hey, yeah. Anyway, I am tired because I went to bed a little bit late last night.
What, like 11
o'clock
at night?
So, like, 9:30.
9:30.
Like 11:30. 11:30. I go to bed one night at 11:30, and I'm, like, ruined the next day. But, and yes, I realize how silly that sounds, but
it really doesn't sound silly at all.
Hey, that is your, you know, everyone's sort of body schedule, rhythm, whatever is different.
Yes. The reason I went to bed late last night was because I went with some friends to trivia.
What
Look
was your
at
team
you!
Name?
Yes. Did you have fun?
Okay, so not only did I have fun, although I was a little, I mean, I had to, like, as soon as I got there, I was like, you got, because they're, like, kind of, they're, like, new friends, so I don't really know them that well. And it was kind of like, you know, trivia is not my thing, but you can only say no to new friends so many times before they'll stop,
like, yeah,
asking. Yeah, so I was true. Like, I should go, like, I don't like trivia. I don't usually go out on weeknights, especially not that late. The time they were meeting was, like, usually the time I'd be coming home. I was like, okay, I can do this. So I went, and it was really fun. And mostly it was fun to, like, hang out and hear the questions, even though I didn't know most of the answers. There was a round with little clips from TV shows, and I Ooh. Did get some of those because I do watch TV. But also my team fucking won.
Yay! What was your name?
I don't remember.
Well,
I was actually late because I went to the wrong bar.
Oh no.
I got to the wrong bar on time and then did a quick walkthrough. Didn't see anyone for trivia and saw, like, five people in the bar. I was like, this is weird. checked my text message and realized I was at the wrong place. So anyway, by the time I got there, they had already chosen their name and started and like done a whole round. And I don't remember what the name was, but I'm sure it was something clever and awesome.
Well, you guys next time could be the N52.9s, because that's the thing we talked about that was for male erectile dysfunction. And yes, I did go through our archives while you guys were talking and look that up.
That doesn't sound like a scientific term, more like a...
it's an ICD-9.
It means to catalog.
Yes.
It's an ICD-9 code. It's an insurance code.
Ah, so insurance code. Yes. I was right, there kind of.
Yeah, totally.
N52.9. Totally. I will not forget that for another week.
M as in...
N as in Nancy.
Oh, N as in Nancy. I thought you said M as in masturbatory.
No. 52.9. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that millennials are soon going to be outnumbered by Generation Z?
No, I had not seen that.
So starting next year, Generation Z, the ones that were born like 2000 and beyond, the ones, you know, that the oldest ones are becoming of voting age right now, they are going to account for 32% of the world's population, but millennials are only going to account for 31.5% of the world's population. And we're only going to keep getting smaller. And they're only going to keep getting larger, not bigger. Ha, huh? Take that, Matt. So...
Well, how do we cut it off? Like, why?
Keep it at the beach, Amanda.
So, yeah, leave it at the beach. Yeah, so how do they differentiate? And I feel like we have talked about this, differentiate between the generations. Like, who decided where millennials stop and where Generation Z begins?
I think it's just it's generally, I've always heard that millennials are too... the year 2000. And then the difference with Generation Z is that they were born like during after the war on terror, after the internet was around like for good. There was also something in this article that I read that said that Generation Z will have, and this made me laugh, less like economic worries, and they'll be like more carefree and happier because they were born during like the recession in 2008, but like, you know, they weren't like directly affected like we were coming out of college. And I was like, except for that national debt that just like got real big. And the planet
now.
And the planet, but cool. Yeah. Good luck with your smog cities.
But also, generations, if they're like 20 years ish,
it's every 25
years. So, millennials are 1980, and that would make sense that it would go to like,
which, you know, and that, because don't forget there's that whole like the 80 through the 84 babies are like zennials, because we're not quite Z, but we're not quite millennials, because we do remember the world without like AOL.
I think we're going to be a very interesting generation that people are going to study, because we are kind of that last little pocket.
Yes.
That had like before we became the technological crazy people that we are now.
Very true.
Yeah.
Right. We are the elder millennials.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Oh my God. Was it hysterical?
It was really funny. And it was like feminist light.
Mm-hmm. So can we back up? What were we talking about?
When I watched the chick from the whatever it is, Last Comic Standing, Eliza something.
Oh, Eliza Schlesinger.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, and that's kind of how it was presented to me too. It was like on Netflix, like watch Nanette, and then like, you know, have yourself a really good cry, and then to feel maybe like. Yeah, less miserable about the state of things. Like watch Elder Millennial, and yeah, it's like funny, but feminist light, but still feminist. And she comes out at the very beginning and talks about how she's 35 and she's a millennial, and I was like, boom,
nice
proof.
I like it.
An elder millennial.
She's like, let me tell you the story of the landline.
She's really funny. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so before we move on, we have to talk about one other thing that is, you know, of us, and that is Cards Against Humanity is hiring.
Right.
And we all need to, as a group, come together and write these like cards. So I believe it. I don't, and I should have pulled it up and I didn't. Yes, that's what she said. But I believe you need to write like 10 white cards and 5 black cards or something. And that's like, totally, we got to do that, guys.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. That's all I got.
And listeners, by all means, please write in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the point of me bringing this up. Is
well, I think you're creative.
I think you're creative, too. You create content. Content.
Now I'm kind of
context, content.
As a professional creative, I think you're creative.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
And you give context to context. So, really, you're very creative.
Yep.
And contexty. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't actually hear what you said, and I was gonna, like, I didn't want to ask you to repeat it, and I was going to listen a little bit more and figure out if I could.
I said you're a.
You were coming up with a creative solution, you would say.
Yeah.
No, it's actually.
I said you are.
That's like a foreign language thing.
It's you're like, you a create. You just, do you need to like read my lips? No, I'm just kidding.
No, like you just listen more. If you don't understand what somebody says, you just keep listening. You might pick it up from context. And sometimes I apply those skills also to English.
I merely just said you're a creative that gives context to context. It was just a lot of C's.
I guess I didn't hear you either.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's now we've got full circle.
Yourself, now that I got the whole thing, I like it.
Cool. Does anybody want to get into some facey back?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Farting in your facey back. I keep calling it the wrong thing. Mike says LeBron.
Which I'm still not. Now, after that, I was like, wait, so how do you say it?
LeBron still.
LeBron.
And then Matt says, and he shall be LeBron, and he shall be a good man.
I mean, but do you really?
Like the song from Elton John. Which we all totally knew and didn't just spend the last 2 minutes looking up and confirming.
I feel like, though, in all fairness, like, I know that song, that Elton John song, but I feel like I know that song in the context of, like, you just make up the lyrics and you don't actually know him. You know, it's like, or maybe that's just...
No, I totally agree. I've been trying to open iTunes for the last, like, minute, and it's not cooperating with me.
Like, Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. Like, you know, you kind of like don't really know the lyrics.
Oh.
You just make them up.
Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin. Because actually does remind me of. So during, you know, the song You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm familiar.
I grew up listening to the Carole King version on Tapestry. And she says, and when my soul was in lost and found. And one day my sister Christy looks very seriously at us and goes, but why was her son in the Lost and Found? My parents were like, because he didn't hold their hand in the department store. No, just kidding.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, but no, LeBron. Cool. Well, now you can always, every time you ever hear that, you'll think, and he shall be LeBron. I'm glad we all got a little refresher in that song so I could go back and read that.
That was good. That era of Elton John, man. Woo! Solid. Good songwriter.
Elton John is coming to Raleigh for his farewell tour. And at one point, tickets were actually not that much money. They were like $75 each.
Oh my God, you should totally go. I will fly down and go with you.
Well, that's it. Nick was like, get those fucking tickets right now. And I was like, I don't know. I got to think about it.
And no, don't think. Buy them.
I don't know if they still are. They've probably been sold out now, but they really were not that. Like, I swear to God, they were under 100 each. And I was like, oh my God, I got to do this. And then I didn't. But Nick told me to, and I didn't. So
That was good advice.
When I edit this, I will look it back up, and maybe wouldn't it be great if he was coming the weekend of Raleigh, and we could just be like, or you know, the undetermined weekend of Raleigh currently.
It will become the weekend,
and it shall be the weekend.
of the meetup.
Moving on. Mike says, I stand with Joanne. Yes, yes. Fuck you guys and your stupid science shit. Speaking of, we now have a mug. And on one side, it says Team Universe. On the other side, it says Team Science. And it's in the Jane Jack store on Teespring. So you can go to janejack.com/store. And it's there. And you should buy it and then take pictures of you guys. Of you guys. Just take pictures of you drinking with it. Anything that you want in it. And then put it in the Facebook group and hashtag it, I'm with hers.
Yes.
Okay, Daniel says, I have a question regarding separating people from their art. I was listening to the podcast, The Pitch and Miki Agarwal. How do I say that, Shandy?
I have no idea, but I think Agarwal.
Agarwal? Okay.
Lebron?
Definitely Lebron.
Oh, that is an L, not an I. See, I clearly need to fix my glasses still. Thinks Period Underwear was pitching her new company, and the investors were scared off by her departure from Thinks under sexual harassment allegations. Since she has been a topic in this podcast and her new company was for bidets, I wanted to know what the broadcast ladies thought of this. So, Shandy, you were able to answer this more because I actually was unaware of this.
Ugh. Yeah, me too.
I became aware of this after I became obsessed with Thinks and, like, got a whole bunch of them. And it was, like, the saddest news. And I did not follow up with it on the podcast because it was kind of one of those things where it was like, if I just don't talk about it, can we pretend it didn't happen? Mm-hmm. But basically, yeah, like, I mean, that's kind of the extent of it, is that she left the company because there were allegations of sexual harassment perpetuated by her, like, on to employees. And it's just so fucking disappointing. And, like, this is why we can't have nice things. Like, fuck. Yeah. People in positions of power, can you maybe not overstep?
Yeah.
Is it that fucking hard? And so, like, so we talked about this a little bit online, but yeah, like, I still love the underwear. And she's gone from the company now, so I kind of feel, like, better about it because
right.
of that.
She's not going to profit off of it. But
yeah.
I don't know the specifics of how she left, what her ties may or may not still be. So that's, like, my willful ignorance. Is it legit that the new investors should be scared off from investing with her? And it's like, yeah, they should. Mm-hmm. And if she has, like, some sort of, you know, professional consequences because of it, then that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. So. But I will look into this as well, because I vaguely saw this and made a note to go look it up and then completely forgot about it, which was my bad until I saw it in the outline today. So from what I understand, I agree with you, Shani, that I'm glad that she's gone, and I hope that she's, you know, no longer any part of the company that can even financially profit off of it. So, because that would make it okay, right? If she's, like, not a part of it at all?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And then we had a little bit of a daycare rant. John said, so my daycare bill for two kids is literally twice my mortgage. Holy shit. Every year they give us a tuition sheet that has infants money. And then, you know, it goes on. So each year I'm like, well, it will be a little bit better next year because the price will go down as they get older, which they do go down as they get older. Then the next year rolls around and the effing prices go up to, and then he lists them all out again. And then the effing prices are per week. So every year I end up paying $10 extra a week, which turns into $520 extra a year. Rant over. Sorry for the rant. The broads talked about daycare costs right when I got the new tuition sheet. And that's actually crazy that they're per week. Like, you don't have the option to pay per month or whatever. Because we pay per month. And that's crazy to me. That's like that bullshit when you go to pay for gas and they're like, haha, just kidding. This is only the price for cash. Your credit card is, like, you know, 10 cents more per gallon.
Yes. Also bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's your child that, like, when childcare is that expensive, then the question becomes, well, can we afford to have children? Because can we afford to pay for them to be properly cared for?
Right.
And that shouldn't be the reason why you don't become a parent.
Right. So
it's insane.
I was up to two thoughts about this, because on one hand, I don't mind paying a little bit more for like a good daycare institution. But on the other hand, I know because like Shandy had brought up when we were talking about it that it's still not like the teachers are still probably not getting paid enough. And there's still people who can't afford to go to like a nicer facility or whatever. And it's just it's such like. I have such mixed feelings all around, but of course my base feeling is that it's so expensive and I wish that there were either tax incentives for the business even. I mean, because we're America, right? We only like to give tax cuts to you know, higher up or whatever. So I wish there was something like companies could, you know, if they gave like some kind of a stipend for daycare. And I know that you can, you know, do the... like withholdings or whatever, but honestly, the withholding stuff is not that much money. It's but I
understand. Like, oh, gee, thanks.
Right, and I understand that the point of that is, you know, because it takes away from your taxable income, so you know make less, and then maybe you're in a lower tax bracket or whatever. Yes, God, I'm sure you are the economist. I don't understand it, but anybody can email me thebroadcasters3@gmail.com and correct me. I would be happy to understand more because I do really actually want to learn about this. Okay, that's it. Ooh, I talk fast when I want to get through something. So, but I understand that there are people who it's just not worth it because there are people where they can't afford to do the daycare. It's cheaper for them to stay home. And like that is where I do think that there is somewhat of a problem in this country where you just have so many like catch-22s in the situation of raising children. Because back in the day when my parents were growing up, I'm sure not as many families had to have two working parents as they do now, right?
Yeah. I think where, you know, where inflation was and how the economy was doing that, yeah. You know, I think many families could live on a single income comfortably.
Right. I don't know. I it sucks. It's just, it's one of those things where as I even conceded in the Facebook chat, like it is what it is. Cause I would love to see there be more attention focused on childcare, but I would also, I'm very aware that I wouldn't want the daycare centers to get screwed because they're the ones that are taking care of my kids.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so I wish that there was something where parents and those facilities could win.
Right. I seem to remember there was somebody who was running for president once who like actually talked a lot about kids and cared about kids and families and did a lot of work like in her career. Yeah.
Did we? Because I thought that we had somebody whose daughter was talking about that a lot, too. And then the solution was something like borrowing from your retirement, too. I don't know.
You know, everything before the past 18 months is kind of a blur.
I hope that I have a dream tonight where I write it down and I remember what I'm kind of trying to say right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Should keep a dream journal, you know, just in case.
Oh, no, but I am blogging again, and I updated my whole blog. I gave it a facelift for the first time in, like 7 or 8 years.
Nice.
Maybe 10
nice.
Years. Yeah. I'm kind of, you know, kind of like it. I'm reinvigorated. Woo, go me. All right, and then we had an email actually on this topic, which I'll read here just to finish this up. Riley says, Colleen, have you looked into an at-home daycare? We pulled our twins out of New Horizons infant care and found a person that runs a daycare in her home. Our bill was cut by 2/3.
Wow.
So I have a friend, and she did the same thing, and she was also at New Horizons and left New Horizons for an at-home daycare. I thought about it, and the thing that helped me back was I literally had no idea where to start or where to find one. And that was, honestly, that was the reason why I'd never pursued that option. Since then, I've learned that, like, care.com might be a good, like, site for options, but just because we were already, like, established in the Primrose stuff, that's kind of just where we, you know, put Alex in too, because Zach would have always, even if we were at home with him, would have always gone to pre-K at, you know, a place, and he starts pre-K in 2 weeks. But maybe I should look into it again when Zach is out of school. And if you have any suggestions or tips as to how to find a good at-home daycare, that would be awesome. So thank you. Okay. John says, can't stop the inevitable, editorial note. This was us watching the apartment so that Dan won't murder us.
When I was reading his feedback, I had this moment of like, huh? And then it came back to me like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yes, watched the apartment. And you know what? That motherfucker Dan didn't even give us feedback about our feedback. So whatever.
I'm grateful.
But also, happy 10th birthday to your daughter that I saw. It was her birthday today. Good job. You kept somebody alive for 10 years. Yay.
Nice.
When you're a murderer.
Yeah, gotta be a record.
Rose says, we need this bird on the broadcast or the Rammel cast or both. And she gave us the link to a stranded parrot that swears at their rescuer. So the parrot was stranded on the roof and told the rescuer to fuck off. It was a British parrot, so it said it very politely.
Fuck off, please.
Fuck off.
So, a macaw parrot named Jessie escaped from her home in North London, ended up settling down on a nearby rooftop. She spent 3 days stranded there. I'd be kind of cranky, too. The London Fire Brigade was dispatched to retrieve her. They also followed their strict protocol. So they sent the volunteer up the ladder with a bowl of food and a fluffy white towel to rescue the bird, complete with instructions from the bird's owner to tell Jessie, the parrot, I love you, to encourage her to come down. Jessie responded in kind at first before turning on her rescuers. We then discovered that she had a bit of a foul mouth and kept swearing, much to our amusement. Specifically, she told the firefighters to fuck off. Jessie, it should be noted, also speaks German and Turkish.
But she then took to off. Fuck off in all three languages?
She did.
Nice. I just have to say, if we're gonna laugh at me for saying LeBron, then I have to also laugh at you for saying macaw.
Oh, how is it pronounced?
I believe macaw.
Macaw?
Macaw,
macaw.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Fuck off, fuck off.
Yeah,
all right. Marcy says, I'm totally for the book club for Lethal White. Can't wait to read it. We've been waiting so long for the next one in the series. And then we have Matt's What She Said. I do like that, but it is a lot of pressure, too. That's what's so crazy about the second time. We didn't plan it. I don't remember that. He was getting to you, but I shut him down real quick. Yeah. I'm super pumped. I'm done. I'm ready for something new. I'm on a streak. I'm just going to keep riding it out. If you hear the word Shirley MacLaine, keep going. That's our safe word, Shirley MacLaine. get to the end. Resolve it. Resolve it. It wouldn't feel awkward on my end. Well, that's a pretty decent box. Oh, my God. Pretty decent box. Possible episode title.
Why didn't we pick that up when it was said?
I don't know. Maybe they were underestimating the size of your hand. Said Donald Trump. or maybe said Ivanka to Donald. you rub right there through those jeans. And finally, you can't really fit anything of substance in there. Which brings us into the women's jean conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so speaking of this pants topic, we have an email. So we had a link that both Matt and Desiree shared, and we had something from Vicky. Vicky says, in reference to the conversation on pockets, I will not allow myself to buy any more workout capris unless they have actual pockets, not the ones that can only hold something like a key. It's also why I've been saving to buy a particular brand of running skirt, Sparkle Skirts, as they can have sizable pockets on the compression shorts underneath. Because I have items that I need to carry with me on my runs or during my workout. I've had to buy a belt that fits them. It really is a conspiracy.
Yes.
So, running skirts. My mind is blown. Such a cool, I don't know. You're into it. I like it.
It is a thing.
I've never heard of such things.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've never worn such things, but I have seen them in the wild. Cool.
In the wild.
So this is the link that Desiree and Matt both shared, and it's called "Confirm the pockets on women's women's pants are indeed bullshit."
I love this article so much.
Do you want to read it?
Sure. So Claire Lower writes, "An extensive important study has confirmed something women have known and have been shouting about for some time. Pockets on our jeans are bullshit. Though concrete empirical data doesn't change the reality of the sexist pocket gap that exists in fashion today, we have to start somewhere, and I can't help but feel slightly vindicated." This is great. "Earlier this year, I was pickpocketed. This was partially because I greatly underestimated the skill of Parisian pickpocketers. Yes, that's true. But mainly because I didn't take my own advice and wear my overalls, the most perfect travel garment. When I wrote an article explaining my folly and championing the overall, I was met with a resounding male-voiced chorus of, 'Why didn't you just put your wallet in your front pocket, you dumb hoe?' There were also a few cries of, 'But overalls won't make the men want to mate with you.' But such boring idiocy isn't worth unpacking. Anyway, the good people at Pudding.cool conducted a very thorough investigation involving the pockets of men's and women's pants."
Most amazing name ever.
20 popular brands were studied. And what they found will blow your mind. If you're a cishet dude, if you're aware of women's pockets, you'll just be like, oh, yeah. You should click the link below to read the full report and play around with the damning interactive pocket graphic. But here are some highlights. Okay. On average, the pockets in women's jeans are 48% shorter and 6.5% narrower than men's pockets. That is basically half as deep. Considering that is where most women keep their hips, this real estate is even more precious, and this finding is even more atrocious. Only 40% of women's front pockets can fit a wallet specifically designed to fit in front pockets. Only 10% of women's pockets can fit a lady hand in them.
I read that as Lady Handy.
For her song could not be sung.
One hand in my pocket.
Yes, said I've got 10%
of women.
I've got one hand in 10% of my jeans. And only 5% of women's pockets can fit a man hand, meaning I have to keep my severed man hands in an NPR tote bag, which is honestly just a mild inconvenience.
Oh, boy.
As you can see, the evidence is shocking to men who don't really talk to women that much. Though I'm sure there are many strategies I could have employed to prevent being pickpocketed, even outside of wearing overalls. Putting my wallet in my front pocket is not one of them, and I bet all of you who suggested it feel pretty dumb right now. Just kidding. Men who yell at me on the internet rarely have shame in matters such as this.
Wow. So there
Boom.
It is.
Amazing.
Studies have been done, and they conclude that it's a
conspiracy. I mean, seriously, though. That's insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's big.
Yeah. Moving on to But Her Shemales. Let's start this sucker off with a voicemail from our very, very good, wonderful friend, Desiree.
Hey, Amanda, Colleen, and Shandy. This is Des, and Astrid's around here somewhere. I'm sure she'll come say hi. Just calling to say that, usually when I listen to the broadcast, I'll turn on and Astrid will say, Colleen. Colleen, you know, because she knows who Colleen is. But last time I turned it on, she said, Colleen, Manda. So she's working on it. She's getting two down. Shandy, you're next. So she's going to learn your name too. And then one day I'm going to turn it on. She's going to be like, Colleen, Manda, Shandy. You want to say hi?
So precious.
Hi. This girl.
I was calling to tell you that I had a dream the other night. In that dream, I was visiting Amanda, and your mom was here, Amanda. And we were riding on a train. Not a real train, but like one of those trains you see in like a zoo or something, you know? And it was like a sightseeing train tour that we were going to get on. And you had a little girl who was probably like 5 or 6. And that's really all I remember of the dream. It was like the night before last. And it was weird, I know. But, you know, I guess I listen to so much broadcast, I'm not dreaming about you guys, which is crazy. Anyways, that's really all I wanted to say. I was going to talk about Doctor Who, but I don't feel like it. I watched the new series. I like the new series. My husband is number one Doctor Who fan. So I have to talk about Doctor Who much more than I ever want to in, you know, my home life. So I'm not going to talk about it on the feedback. So, you know, if you need any advice on Doctor Who, just let me know, because number one Doctor Who fan, will he'll let you know what you need to know. All right. Love you guys. Love the show. Bye.
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 Mayday, bitch.
Oh, they're the best. Thanks, ladies. Awesome.
I hope that you guys can meet Desiree at a Raleigh meetup one of these years, because she is like so super awesome.
I would love to. And maybe we could go find a train to ride together, and I don't know, I'll kidnap a child.
But please don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'll borrow them. I'll bring them back.
Oh, good times. All right. Speaking of children, we have an update from Kate.
Kate says, baby is here. Hi, ladies. I just wanted to write in to let you know that my baby is finally here.
Yay!
I know you wanted pictures, so I attached a few, and they are super freaking cute.
Oh, my God. Look how cute she is.
She was born July 11th by scheduled C-section since she was breached. Juliet Caitlin Bell.
I love pounds. That name.
It's very, very spelling. Cute.
6 pounds, 11 ounces, and picture perfect, probably because I didn't have to go through labor. She's sure. Nearly 6 weeks now and doing well. I finally caught up with podcasts, and what Colleen said about pet peeves is totally me. Before she came, everyone said I'd never sleep and it would be so hard and stressful. Clearly, I was going to learn that myself, so leave me alone to figure it out. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the pictures, and I'll be doing my best to stay current with the podcast until I go back to work in October. Kate.
Oh, my God. That's so great. Congrats, Kate. She's so beautiful.
I know. We sent you an email the morning that you were scheduled, but it was from your work email, so we got a notice back. So when you go back to work and get that...
Oh, that would be like such a fun return to work surprise.
Yeah. But I kind of love that. I love her name. And I love that Catherine, Kate is short for Catherine. And the middle name is Caitlin. And Kate is also a nickname for Caitlin.
Yeah.
So yeah. I love that. And she's beautiful. And she's a 7-Eleven baby. So cool. Congratulations, though. We're very, very happy for you that you have your little beautiful Juliet. So, yay, babies.
So it's nice to have another fellow crabby cancer in the world. So, welcome, Juliet.
Welcome. All right. Our next email is from Anonymous Dater.
Yes, we have a follow-up email. Adventures in Dating. Hey, ladies, I wanted to give a bit of a follow-up given something that happened with the last guy I dated. I tried to be nice and told him we could still be friends, as that's just part of who I am, but that was clearly a mistake. We chatted a bit every once in a while, mostly about how taxing work has been for me lately, but then he started sending fairly creepy messages. Within about a week and a half, he twice seemed to be trying to figure out if I was seeing anyone, saying things to the effect of, is dating being nice to you and men treating you decently?
Okay, awkward.
A little uncomfortable. He explained it away that he was trying to be the best friend he could be. He then apologized for never making any moves on me, though he almost did at one of the conventions we both attended. When I asked for clarification, he said that I had looked really nice in one of the costumes I had worn, but he never told me that. In fact, he did, via text, several days after the fact. That was one of the reasons I broke it off with him. He only ever seemed to be able to say things to me via text and never in person. And most of the compliments he gave me seemed to be centered around my costumes. Since we were still friends on Facebook, he knew that I was going up to local pool most days to swim. he told me, it's always a pleasant thought of you jumping in that water. I have no control over your biology. Yeah, Chuck is right. I would agree with Yuck. That was so not okay. But being who I am, I didn't say anything. The final straw was when he thanked me for putting up with his Ponfar moments. I don't know if I know what that is.
Ponfar?
Ponfar?
Ponfar is a phenomenon in the fictional Star Trek universe. A part of the reproductive cycle of Vulcans, Ponfar features in the canonical TV series. Okay, whatever. It's a fucking mating ritual.
Gross. Okay, cool. That was it. Rightly so. I was straight with him and
oh my God, he told her that he wanted to Vulcan porn her. Ew, gross.
This is really uncomfortable.
Also, episode title, Vulcan porn.
Well then.
And it won't be the first time that an episode title contains the word porn.
Right. Right.
No, we can thank Ted Cruz for that one.
Oh, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Seriously.
I'm sorry. You can go back to being a better person for not hearing it again.
Right. That'd be nice. Guys, the world. Okay. That was it. I was straight with him and told him that those sorts of comments made me extremely uncomfortable, especially since I was no longer interested in dating him. He couldn't act like we were in some sort of relationship and say those kinds of things. None of my guy friends would ever say things like that to me, and it was not something I wanted to hear from someone I was only friends with. I gave him a choice. If he was going to continue saying those sorts of comments, then we were done. Atta girl. Thankfully, he saw reason and said that was probably for the best. After talking with my best friend about the whole thing and learning some things that he had said to her, I went to block him only to find that he had blocked me first. What an a-hole. This guy is unfreaking believable.
Seriously, fuck him.
I just have to say that I was really proud of myself for putting my foot down and telling them that he made me uncomfortable. Yeah, you should be proud of yourself.
You should be proud of that. You. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. It's not something I do that often, but he needed to be told that what he was saying was unacceptable. I knew that it was what you three would have done, and that's what helped me speak up on my own behalf. I wanted to thank you so much for everything you ladies do, and I look forward to hearing from you as always, Anonymous Dater. Anonymous Dater, aww. I am really proud of you.
Yes.
Agreed. Fuck that guy. I think we probably, if he's the one that I'm thinking that is the one that you've talked about before, I believe we've also said fuck him before, but not fuck him, like fuck him, like fuck that guy, fuck him. But no, oh, that's also bad. As in, he's the worst.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's just like, clearly not ready to be in a relationship with anyone because he seems to have a lot of communication problems. Which is not to say that he won't grow out of them. I can't remember if Anonymous Dater ever mentioned his age, but yeah, I think all signs point to at this current point, you made the right choice and run away.
Yeah.
abort.
Yes, I agree. Good for you, though. Woohoo! Our next email is from Piper. Piper says, because she's a Raleigh native, apparently. But okay, our next email is from Piper. I have been a Jay and Jack listener for many years, but I admit that I am new to the broadcast. I recently listened to one of the episodes where you discussed the friend zone.
It just won't die.
It really won't.
I actually had two references to the friend zone this past week, but I won't go into them right now.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I've never wanted to jump through my headphones back into the past to join a conversation as much as I did that day. It was a fine day in August 2016. many years ago, I was listening to the radio and they were discussing how men are only friends with women that they find attractive. As a woman who has always been quote, one of the guys, unquote, I knew this to be untrue. I decided to run my own not-so-scientific experiment. At a social gathering, I gave everyone present, five men and five women, ooh, that's very convenient, a piece of paper and pencil. I asked everyone to imagine an end-of-the-world scenario. They had a bunker. Oh, this is like totally my kind of email. And they figured out every way home from work. They had a bunker and can each take 10 men and 10 women with them into the post-apocalypse. I told them that they would not be asked to share the names on their list with anyone. When everyone was done, I asked them to replace anyone on the list who was family. Then I asked them to look at the list of names of the opposite sex or same sex, if that is their preference, and count how many on the list they would have sex with, assuming that they were free to do so. Of the five women, the highest count was 3.5. I'll explain the half later. The men raised from 7 to 9, yet the next day, one of the two men who gave a 9 as their score admitted that he would actually have sex with one of the ones he originally omitted, so his new score was a 10. Okay, so wait, let me get this straight. They had to put 10 men and 10 women in their scenario, and then when they listed them, they had to replace, so it had to be non-family, so uh-huh. They have 10 people that they're not related to, and then, dude, Piper, you should have totally asked them, like, how many of these people they would fuck if they were their family. That's it. Let me just get this straight. So, look at the names of your sexual preference, and how many you'd have sex with. So, that would, so, 10 people that you're not related to, because, you know, this isn't like Arkansas.
Right.
JK, 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 Janice. I'm just kidding. I'm totally just kidding, because I don't think she's from Arkansas.
I think she's from Alabama.
She's from Alabama, yes.
She is one of the A states.
No, she's from Alabama.
Exactly. Just like I knew it was one with an A and it wasn't Alaska.
No, she's from I was just in my brain, I was searching for somebody that was from one of those like cousin states. And okay, cool. Anyway, so we're all on the same page here. Piper continues. I was shocked. Shocked. How could this be? I think it may be explained by the half. The half was a gentleman that this lady did not find particularly attractive physically, but she found him to be extremely funny. She said that the more time she spends with him laughing, the more time she could see herself being seduced by him. The theory here is that we all want to spend our time with people we find attractive. That could be sexually, intellectually, or they just make us laugh. And if you can originally be attracted to people only to discover they are jerks and then no longer think they are hot, you can likewise find people more attractive once you get to know them better. So are women more likely to give the physically unattractive a chance for friendship than men are? I am sorry that I initially passed over your podcast. As I mentioned before, as one of the guys, I often find myself in the guy circle to avoid conversations of gossip or shopping. Well, I've got news for you. We sometimes do talk about that clothing thing that Amanda does now. Which I can't
remember. Stitch
Fix, yes, sorry. I really couldn't remember it.
Ow.
We sometimes talk about, and by that I mean a lot, Stitch Fix. If I had known that the broadcast was a female version of the Married Man show, I would have started listening a lot sooner. Can't wait to catch up in the future, Piper. And Piper is a new patron, as is Rachel, who I was talking about earlier. So welcome, guys, and thank you for being patrons. Yay!
Yay, welcome.
Yay, welcome.
Also, guys gossip too, just FYI. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, they totally gossip.
They just and they do sometimes talk about clothes. And women.
At least women are, right, at least women are honest about it. Like a dude would never, I'm not gossiping.
Anyway,
I'm just
so
cursing.
What do you guys think about this? I do kind of, like, if we're, you know, gonna get down to the nitty gritty. I think that, sorry men, you guys are probably a little bit more shallow in terms of like what you're attracted to versus women, right?
I don't know.
Really? That's true.
Basically, you know, it's like different things for different people. Like,
different strokes for different folks. That's what she said, Matt.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do agree that, like, we all want to hang out with people that we find qualities in, whether they be, like, people that we see romantically or, like, yeah, friends or whatever. Like, of course, you're going to be drawn to people who you find attractive or who you find intellectually stimulating and interesting or right, funny or what have you. I think that goes across all genders.
So are women more likely to give physically unattractive chance for friendship than men are?
I think that's making a big generalization. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I would parse it that way.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is also when we can maybe go back to Nanette, and think about her talking about how we're put into these boxes from the time we're born, mm-hmm, and that the thing is, men and women aren't actually as different as we like to pretend. And so, like, even saying sweepingly, like, men only hang out with women they find attractive, whereas women don't, I think it's not fair really to either.
Right. So what would you say, though, about the experiment?
I would say it's you talk to 5 people that are men and 5 people that are women, you know. And also, I would say, like, I mean, there's, like, layers to this. So, right, super small sample size, of course. Interesting anecdotally, of course.
Very interesting anecdotally, actually.
Yes. I would also say that women are conditioned to not, like, see themselves as having as big of a sexual appetite, whereas men are socialized to think that they need to fuck everything that moves. So it might be easier in such a scenario for women to hold back from saying, like, oh yeah, I'd fuck him, and for a man, conversely, to be like, oh yeah, I'd totally fuck her, because that's sort of like, that's what we're taught to do,
right? Societally, yeah. Men are prone to admit it more because women have to be ladies, right?
Right.
Or just, yeah, almost like they feel like they have to play that up, whereas women feel like they have to play that down.
Yes.
They have to not be, yes, a fucking skank.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they can't admit that they, you know, they shouldn't, they can't say that they would fuck 9 or 10 of the 10 men on their list.
Whereas, how would that look? God
forbid. I know.
You can't. Yeah.
In reality, if you're in this, like, post-apocalyptic bunker scenario and none of these people are your family and that's, like, it, these are the last people on Earth for the rest of your life, then probably at some point in time you are kind of going to make your way around because, like, boredom, it's just not a lot of choice, right?
Right. We're all going to revert back to, like, our animalistic
instincts.
Tendencies, instincts.
Right. Well, how else are you going to pass the time? Come on.
Fair enough.
And you're picking people that you like, ostensibly, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. So, yeah.
Right, because would you want to spend the apocalypse with someone you found physically attractive, but hated their personality?
No.
Probably not.
No. And I would say that guys would probably mostly also say no. They don't want to spend the rest of their living days with somebody who they find maybe attractive, but with a terrible personality.
So what you're saying is that even if you were the last people on Earth, you still wouldn't fuck a Trump supporter?
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Yeah.
I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, it's a fair statement.
Not even to repopulate the...
No, fuck that.
No, especially to repopulate the planet.
No. Like the
We have a chance to do it right.
I don't want a half MAGA. I don't want a half MAGA.
Yeah. No, and that's fine because the world will probably be a better place once humans are eradicated from it. So if it's up to me and a Trump supporter to repopulate the world, I'll just say, like, peace. I'm gonna go hang out on my own beach by myself.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Hang out with all the animals.
Yes.
Like,
I'll find the cats.
It's your turn to take over the world. You do a better job than we did.
You know what song I'm singing in my head right now? If I could talk to the animals, learn their languages.
The animals.
Yes. Okay, good. You recognize it.
Talk.
Yeah. Maybe have an animal degree. I talk to buffaloes and beavers.
Buffaloes, and see if it's buffalo fried chicken. Buffalo wings. There we
buffalo
go.
Wings.
You mean the lost broadcast episode that you guys are going to release?
That's precisely what I mean when we get to the bottom of what is buffalo wings, buffalo or chicken.
Okay, well, in case anybody has no idea what they're talking about, we had to stop for about 20 minutes before because I had to go upstairs and help young Alexander go back to sleep with the breast. And Shandy and Amanda during that time explored the definition of meat. And apparently it was hysterical. And we're going to release this probably for the patrons at some point soon. And it's going to
have a snappy name for it.
Yes. There was a snappy name. Well, what did we say it was going to be called?
I don't think we came up with a name yet.
We did.
I'm trying to think of something.
There was something.
I have no idea.
There was something that we said before. And I'm sure when one of us re-listens to this, we might post it.
I mean, I like the Lost Broadcast because
the Lost Broadcast
works on a number of levels for this network.
I know. And how ironic. Excerpts. How ironic would it be if we released a special episode called The Lost Broadcast and I wasn't on it?
You got lost.
I literally did. Anyway, stay tuned for that, because that's going to be a thing that happens, whether it's for the patrons or whether it's for everyone. We're going to figure it out. But honestly, right now, we're like 2 weeks away from episode number 100, and we've got like big plans, and we don't want to fuck that up yet. So,
truth. True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you so much, Piper, for writing in and giving us some more food for thought. And welcome.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, welcome to the party. We're like the most awesome party on the network, okay?
It's true.
Yeah. We're the ones that you walk into and you think we're lame, but we're not lame because we're actually super funny.
Who thinks we're lame?
I would say we're actually kind of like the people sitting at the cool kids table. And the other people walk in and they like want to sit at the cool kids table. That's how I conceptualize us anyway.
Okay, well, I have never conceptualized myself in the cool kids table ever in my life. And Amanda, yeah, I don't
think I ever sat at the cool kids table. This is great. This is a new experience for me.
Woo! Yeah. The cool kids table episode title. The cool kids table.
Yes.
Welcome.
But we're an inclusive cool kids table.
Oh, totally.
Like we leave plenty of room.
Uh huh.
We don't, like, stick our feet out and trip anyone as they walk by.
Okay.
Yes. But seriously, like, think of it. Like, Jay tries to, you know, make his way on the podcast from time to time. Matt's practically a broadcaster.
I mean, yeah. Matt's a fourth broad.
Yep.
Everyone, I gotta say.
Well, no, it's Jay's the fourth broad. Matt's the fifth broad.
But
we'll work out the hierarchy. Later.
Well, no, Matt has to be the fifth broad because he's also the 5th of May, so he's got to be the 5th of broad. Oh. The
5th of broad. I feel like that should come with like a crest. Like,
oh my god! Okay, maybe Jacob can make Matt a pin that says the 5th of broad.
Oh my god, I love it.
I'm gonna write that down as well. The 5th of broad. Okay. we have a final email from Andy, and then we are going to get the hell out of here.
Okay, so Andy writes in the last few weeks in Andy's virginity. Hey, broads. Sorry I didn't write in last time. Things were a little busy, not in the getting variety, and I didn't have time to write a proper response. Wish I could have gotten it in before your breakthrough. Wish I could have gotten it in, still funny, before your break, though. And on the note of wishing I could have gotten it in, here's some updates. Since my last email, I celebrated another wedding. Two of my college friends got married at a nice little bed and breakfast / small farm in the country. Unfortunately, it was extremely humid, but at least the rain held up until we got inside. There were times I was soaking through my shirt, and the tent that housed the dance floor was basically a sweat lodge. So even if I had made a connection with someone, it was far too gross to lead to the post-wedding hookups I hear about. Although I did pack condoms just in case. Hey, look at you.
Hey, he's always getting bold.
I know.
Besides that, safety first, because otherwise you cannot donate blood. Besides that, it was a great time hanging out.
Apparently.
besides that, it was a great time hanging out with old friends and new and being part of such a big moment in my friends' lives. These days, we all certainly need those breaks to recharge and remind us of the good in life. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
No news on the Alice front. She wasn't at the wedding, and I haven't seen her since my last email when I told you about her. While disappointing, it's probably for the best. I've been a little under the weather lately, thanks to a summertime cold, and trying to get to know her better while fighting back sniffles and coughs is probably not the best way to go about the situation. From what Marshall told me, it sounds like she may not be in the mood for a relationship right now. That may be a good thing. While I want to get to the good stuff already, I know taking it slow is the best course of action for me. I know I'll need whoever I end up with to be patient with me, so it stands to reason I should be patient with her as well. And besides, I genuinely would like to get to know her better. Yes, calling my friend Marshall is a How I Met Your Mother reference. I will have you know that was How I Met Your Mother was one of the shows on the trivia that I got the answer to right and was amazed that the other people I was with hadn't seen it.
Oh, yay! Yeah.
They were probably amazed at all of the other stuff that I was not familiar with. But anyway, I was going to use Lily to refer to my friend's girlfriend, but I cut her out of my last email to keep it from getting too cluttered. Maybe I find myself relating to a guy who takes way too long to tell a story. However, Ted is a big believer in the universe.
Hashtag get our mugs. Yes,
that's right. Which I'm definitely not. I'm okay with you and the listeners petitioning it because why not? Yeah, it's fair. About Amanda's adventures alone, I'm clearly on the other end of this type of problem. That part of being in a relationship is something I think about a lot. While I'm not some recluse living in a cabin in the woods, I spend a good chunk of my free time by myself, but that will change when I'm with someone. It'll be one of the many adjustments I'll have to make for it to work. That's what she said. But I'm sure I can still have some me time. No couple does everything together, right?
No.
Only the super unhealthy ones.
Right. Yeah,
the ones that do, it causes a whole different set of problems.
Yes, I would. I'm jumping on board with you guys. Like,
yeah.
Totally, you do not, don't do everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the relationship you strive for.
No.
That's about it for now. My cold has been waning the last few days, but it's still that annoying little bit that lingers way too long. Hopefully I can squash it soon so I can maybe give you a good update soon. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy.
Cool.
Oh, Andy.
Well, I hope you're feeling better. Summer colds are the worst.
Yeah, I've had... Honestly, the reason that we're all up is I'm pretty sure, like, Zach has a summer cold, I have a summer cold, Alex has a summer cold, Jay has a summer cold, so...
Oh,
like,
man.
You know, they're all around. Oh, they're everywhere. You know what it is? It's the changing. It's the beginning of the season's changing. Like,
right,
mine.
Barometric pressure is.
Exactly.
Moving.
I had a headache in my, like, the right side of my, like, upper eye going down to, like, my teeth. And the pain has stopped, but, like, my nose is only running on, like, the same side as that. So, like, you know, it's all part of it.
Damn.
It's a cold conspiracy.
The cold conspiracy.
Thank you for the update, Andy. And we always look forward to them as you know.
Yep.
As always, a giant thank you to our patrons. We can't do this without you guys. So we really appreciate that. And thank you. You know, this has been a subject this whole episode. But thank you to everyone that listens to us in general. Like, it just has hit me over the last couple of months that people listen to us, and that's awesome. So thank you so much. Give us a review on iTunes. As Jay would say, if you like what we do, give us a review. If you go, you know, just you
it's good
know, do
and
that.
Snappy.
Super awesome. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JayandJack. And welcome to our newest patrons, Rachel. Sorry again that I was coffee-less when you came up to me.
Hey, so, Rachel.
But hi.
Welcome.
Good times. Anyway, no, but thank you, Rachel, so much. What else? Merchandise. If you want to buy our mug, Team Universe, Team Science, you can go to jayandjack.com/store. It's a Teespring store, so if you know, you get lost, you can also search on there for us and pick up our awesome new mug that Jacob did. Thank you so much, Jacob. a special thank you to our patrons, Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart, Ed the... I'm never going to remember this. Ed the Skidmark Detective.
Which I now get.
Now you get it. Ed the Skidmark Detective, Molly the Millennial, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan.
Yeah.
And I hope I got everybody. Did I get everybody? I hope I did. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to shop through the Amazon store, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon. And, you know, whatever you get through that also helps us out. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure. It's good to be back. I hope that next week I remember what I wanted to talk about, because it never came to me, this show.
I'm going to get like a text from you like in 4 hours. Like, oh, I remember.
Yeah. Well, you know. I did remember N52.9.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. True.
So hopefully we get a repeat. Anyway, on that note, guys.
A repeat erection?
Yeah. Male erectile dysfunction.
Oh, it was erectile dysfunction.
It was.
It wasn't an erection.
I forgot about that.
It was not.
I was thinking erection.
Dysfunction.
The opposite.
The opposite. Anyway.
Okay, gotcha.
You know.
Glad we cleared that up before the show was over.
Glad we did. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends. Buy the mugs. All the fun things. All the fun things. And we'll see you next week. In 2 weeks, we're going to do our live show for our 100th episode. And that will be on the Tuesday after Labor Day. What is that? September 4th?
September 4th.
Yes, that's right. Beyonce's birthday. So stay tuned for that. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And thanks, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.
Peace out.